You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. In our journey through the book of Esther, we're beginning to see how this truth from Proverbs was realized in the life of Haman. So while you find your place in Esther chapter 6, Greg and I have an update on a rather new ministry for Through the Bible.
Yeah, Steve, it's always so exciting to look back at a decision that we made a few years ago. And when I say we, I mean you, me, the board, all of the people praying. If you're on the World Prayer Team, you're praying that God will open doors. And we get to say yes, and then we get to look back and realize, oh my goodness, the Lord gave us an opportunity to open a door of ministry to people that didn't have Through the Bible before.
Yeah, it is so exciting to see when that happens.
And so today, that's what we want to talk about, and it's the language is called Igbo, and it's part of our prayer focus as the World Prayer Team is traveling through Western Africa. Today we're stopping in Nigeria, and we already had ministry in Hausa and Yoruba for Nigeria for more than 2 decades.
But yeah, and don't miss that. Yeah. More than 2 decades we've been in Yoruba and Hausa in those languages, and the commitment and the fruit that we've seen from there is tremendous.
Yeah, so I think we want to celebrate both the longevity of how our supporting and listening and praying family lets us have the ability to support something for more than 20 years and then launch it new in 2019. The Igbo people are an ethnic group who make up about 15% of the population of Nigeria, which is Africa's most populous country. A very diverse country, 544 people groups, and it's divided predominantly Muslim in the north, Christians in the south. So this is an important ministry.
Yeah, and here's some letters that we get from the Igbo Bible Bus.
I love that.
"Your daily messages bring revival and restoration to my far-wandering soul. I did not know there were still people who teach the sound word of God. I have been following the teachings from the book of Numbers, and I am very much blessed. May God bless you all."
Wonderful. And Steve, we often like to talk to our listening family about the fact that people around the world have the same issues and challenges and problems that we do. It doesn't matter what language you speak. And this letter addresses that. "My marriage was going through some difficulties until my wife and I agreed to begin listening to the Through the Bible teachings together. To God and Him alone be all the glory. Now it seems the oil of love has been poured on our marriage again."
old oil of love.
I think we need a bumper sticker. If your marriage needs oil of love, listen to Through the Bible.
TTB.org is your place to go, my friend. That's cool. Here's another one. This is, "Since last year, when I tuned for the first time, my family has not missed the program since that day. We enjoy it. It is a blessing to us. We would not be able to understand the Word of God clearly on our own, but the program gives us step-by-step exposition of the Word." Don't miss that. This is what the heart of Through the Bible is about. So many people all around the world have the Bible already, but not as many people understand the Word of God. And Dr. McGee, in his wonderful way, through the power of the Holy Spirit, then translating into all these different languages, helps people to understand and engage with Scripture directly.
Yeah. And we hear things like systematic. We hear things like context. Remember when we were in Uganda, how many times people said, "We got the historical background of the book."
Yes.
These are things we take for granted.
Yeah.
But we are feeding literally starving people spiritually by giving them this great teaching.
Yeah, such an encouragement. And I hope you're encouraged by that as well. And we would love for you to help us get the word out by joining our World Prayer Team. Just go to ttb.org/pray. You can pray for the Hausa language, Igbo, all the other languages as we travel around the world on our knees. Greg, we're out of time. Could you pray for us as we begin our study?
Father, we rejoice that you are doing amazing things through the simple proclamation and teaching of your word. And we trust you to continue to reach people, transform lives, heal marriages, do all of those things through your word for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Dr. J. Vernon McGee with our study in Esther chapter 6 on Through the Bible.
Now we left off last time in the book of Esther in a very strategic place. This man, the king, Xerxes, couldn't sleep at night. and they called for the records of the kingdom to be read. And it was found in there that Mordecai had rendered a valuable service to the king but had not been rewarded. And as a result, why, the king now feels like that he ought to do something. And at that very moment, Haman makes his entrance in to see the king early in the morning, and his request was going to be to have this man Mordecai hanged. He'd already built a gallows for it. And so this is a very strategic moment, by the way. It reveals the fact that God, by his providence, is moving. And so the king asks the question of Haman, says, what ought to be done to the man that the king delights to honor? And this man Haman said, well, I can't think of anybody he would want to honor more than myself. And he's a rather conceited fellow, I would think, but actually there was a basis for it. And so he lays out a program. And I pick up reading at verse 7. Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king is accustomed to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done for the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Now, what do you suppose that he had in mind at this particular point? Well, Haman actually was plotting to get the throne of the Medo-Persian Empire, and he intended to usurp the throne. And I suppose that he intended to destroy the king also. He's a bloodthirsty individual, by the way. And so what he's asking, he thinks he'll be the one that will be honored. Therefore, let the crown be put on the head of this man, the royal apparel put on him, and the horse the king rides. In other words, let the people get accustomed to the man that the king wants to honor. Let the people get accustomed to see him riding through the streets as a king. In other words, he's revealing his hand here in a very subtle way, however, but it's his intention, obviously, now to try to overthrow the king. Apparently, I think that Ahasuerus saw the plot now that's in Haman's mind. Verse 10, then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, who sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Now, you could never have asked anything of this man Haman to do that to him would have been more displeasing, more ignominious, more distasteful, more hateful than to have to put the royal garments and the royal crown on Mordecai and put him on the horse of the king and lead him through the streets and make the announcement that this is the man that the king delights to honor. Well, this man Haman is really a miserable individual. And apparently the king, Xerxes, begins to see that there's a plot here on the part of this man. But of course he does nothing about it, because we are told here, then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done for the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And instead of doing this for Mordecai, he intended to hang him on the gallows. Now, and Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hastened to his house mourning and having his head covered. My, this was humiliation to him. And now notice what happens. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai is of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. She was a nice little wife, was she not? She's the one suggested that the gallows be built. Now she's saying to him, I told you so. You're beginning to fall. And she has no word of comfort for him at all. Now, verse 14. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hastened to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther prepared. He's going to be late for the dinner that he'd been looking forward to, and the events now are happening so thick and so fast that he can't keep up with it. Things are beginning to happen to his disadvantage, and it is, as it were, he has no control over them. And by the way, he doesn't have any control over them. You know why? Because at that very moment, God is overruling all of this. And God is seeing to it that his plot does not succeed. Now we come to chapter 7. And I have labeled chapter 7, the man who came to dinner but died on the gallows. And I want to tell you, he got a necktie party at the end of the dinner. And a kind of a party he wasn't looking for by any means. But he goes to this dinner now with mingled feelings. He's thrilled that the queen has invited him. But the way things have worked out, that he's had to honor this man Mordecai. And I'm of the opinion at this moment, he doesn't quite understand why that he is being honored. That is why Mordecai was being honored and why he was bypassed. But anyway, he's now going to the dinner. Chapter 7. Verse 1, the man who came to dinner but died on the gallows. And he didn't die of indigestion, by the way. He's going to be hanged. Now notice what happens. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther, the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Now, the very interesting thing here is that this queen again is nervous. I think that she was nervous and probably rightly so. What in the world can she do now when these two men are present? There's been a decree against her people. It would touch her. Now, how is she going to approach a request? Because she apparently was not aware of what had taken place, that Mordecai had been honored. All she knows is that both men have come, and I imagine both of them are in a rather state of excitement because of the events that have taken place, which she's totally unaware of. But this man now, the king, he renews his overture to the queen. He says to her, Queen Esther, you feel very comfortable now, and do not hesitate to make any request that you want to make of me. I will give you up to half of the kingdom. And that meant she'd have all of it, because, see, she's the queen, half of it's hers. So he's just turning the whole thing over to her, and he's saying to her, you just ask what you want to, Queen Esther, and it'll be yours. Now, verse 3, then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. Now she said, my request and my petition is this. I want you to spare my life and my people. Well, the king must have been alarmed. And if he was alarmed, well, this man Haman, it was a three alarm for him. He never knew that the queen was a member of the nation Israel, that she was an Israelite. And you can be sure of one thing, that he's rather excited about what's taking place. Now she says here, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. Now if we'd been sold from male and female slaves, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not compensate for the king's damage. Now, she said, if we'd been sold into slavery, I would have kept quiet, although it would have been to the disadvantage of the king that it happened. But I would have kept quiet. But we've actually been betrayed, and we're to be destroyed as a people. And so the thing that has happened now, why, the king, he's absolutely amazed. Who is it that would dare attempt to destroy the queen? And who would dare to attempt to destroy her people? And she says here something that I want to tell you was as shocking a statement as these two men ever expected to hear. We've been sold. My people have been sold to be destroyed and to be slain and to perish. And I'm included among them. We're going to be slain, not just sold into slavery. Now notice what happens. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, who is he? And where is he? Who would presume in his heart to do so? Now, this man Xerxes had never taken the trouble to inquire about who the people were that Haman wanted to destroy. And at this moment, he hasn't put two and two together. He does not really know who's attempting to destroy her people and to destroy her. He just can't believe that there'd be anybody that would attempt such a thing like this. It's just unheard of. And this man just hadn't inquired because human life to him was cheap. The fact that thousands and thousands of men had perished in that campaign against Europe had not disturbed him at all. He's actually asking a question that he doesn't have the answer for. Who is he and where is he would presume to do so in his heart? Who would dare do this? And I'm of the opinion that at this moment, it hasn't dawned on Haman fully what has really taken place. He did not know when he got that decree through to slay the nation Israel that Esther was the queen and that she was a Jewish. He did not know that. He was totally unaware of this. You see now that God has been moving back of the scenes. Standeth God in the shadow, keeping watch over his own. He's made it very clear, the Lord has, that no weapon that was formed against them, and after all, God has already said, I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curseth thee. Now, if you wanted to go down through history, you would find something that'd be quite interesting indeed. And I haven't taken the time here to go into that at all. Probably I should have. But I haven't attempted to take the nations of the world that have practiced anti-Semitism and to take a good look at them and see what happened to them. During the Spanish Inquisition, actually, Spain was the great nation of the world at that time. This country, this Western Hemisphere, was discovered by a man by the name of Columbus. He was an Italian, but he was sailing under a Spanish flag. And he landed down in some of the islands in the West Indies, and he put up the Spanish flag. He claimed it for the Queen of Spain. Now, Spain was the great nation at that particular time. But what happened? Well, at the time of the Spanish Armada that was anchored off the coast of England, actually ready to destroy Great Britain, but a storm came up and destroyed that fleet. Then again, you have the hand of God, my friend, that's moving. And the hand of God that's been moving, I tell you, down through the history of this world. And Spain became a second-rate, even a third-rate nation. Why? God just makes good. And he was moving, actually, by his providence. And God moves that way. And so here, God's moving definitely in this scene now. And so the king asked this question, who would presume to do such a thing? And Esther said, this is verse 6, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. He had no answer for that. He's dumbfounded to find out that Esther is a Jewish. He just didn't dream that could be true. And he had a decree to have him put to death. And here's the queen, and she's begged for a life. Well, the king is puzzled. In fact, the matter is, he's got to think this thing through, because this man Haman was his trusted advisor. He was his prime minister. Now notice what happens. And the king arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. Why did he do that? He went in there to think this thing through. He said, I've got to get this thing straight in my mind. Well, I can't believe that Haman would do such a thing as this, but apparently he's done it. He believed his queen, and here's my queen pleading and begging for her life before me and because of Haman. Well, he has to cool off just a little and think the thing through. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, he went into the palace garden. Now he wants to think clearly about it. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther. And this man, who was so glib in asking that others be put to death, he now becomes just like a slave. He grovels at the feet of the queen. And fact of the matter is, he's mad. This man is mad with fear. For what does he do? Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw there was evil determined against him by the king. He saw that the king wasn't going to let this thing pass. He was going to do something. And what does this man Haman do? Well, he gets down on his knees to plead for his life in a craven way, and he begins to paw at the queen. She was reclining, you see, on the couch there. That's the way they ate in that day, and all of them had been reclining. And now this man, he begins now to paw at the queen. He's mad. He doesn't really know what he's doing. Now notice verse 8, then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the couch where Esther was. He's begging for his life, and she's afraid of him. You can be sure of that. And when the king sees that, then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? What in the world is this man trying to do? There, just pawing at my queen. And you just didn't do that, friends. He's mad. This man, Haman, is just mad at this time. He's lost his mind. As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. You see, there were these eunuchs standing around. They haven't moved. The queen hasn't called for any help yet. She's frightened, and she's filled with fear. When the king comes in and sees that, he doesn't have to say anything than what he does say. Why, he says, what is this man thinking of? These eunuchs, great big fellas, they step up, and they take this man, Haman, and now he's being arrested. What's going to happen to him? Well, we read verse 9, and Harbona, one of the chamberlains in attendance upon the king, said, behold also the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then said the king, hang him on it. You see, God says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Always happens that way. Jacob, if he were here, would tell us that that's what happened to him. Even Paul the apostle, he had given the word at the stoning of Stephen. And when he's way up yonder in the Galatian country, they lead him out of town and stone him and leave him for dead, because he was dead. Why? Because you just can't mock God. God's not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, friend, I don't care what it is, you'll reap. And then there is a law of God that operates. Notice what happened. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Let me read now in closing Psalm 37, verses 35 and 36. Listen to the psalmist. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. That's the interesting thing. Little man, you can have your day. You can be a villain if you want to, and you can run against God's plan and purpose for you, but you won't defeat God, because you're going to pass off the stage. That's what happened to this man. But we're not through with the book. So until next time, may the Lord richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, We're not done with this intriguing story. Meet me next time as the plot unfolds. And until then, visit ttb.org to check out the Bible study resources that we've got available for free. Or you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE with questions. God bless you today as you walk with Him and His Word.
Jesus made it home. Unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world, and we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Savior Jesus Christ, who's worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We're located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. We also have a Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30 p.m. And that telephone number is 732-434-2231. I repeat the number, 732-434-2231. Our church service starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. So now, stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, what a mighty, mighty service that we had Sunday. Glory to God. I tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit was so evident there. And I tell you, there was a lot of people just glorifying God and thanking Him for everything that He's done for them during the course of the week. And I want to tell you today that He's right there where you are. If you love Him and want to give your heart to Him, He can do this very same thing that we experience on Sunday. Praise God. Don't forget, we're the church in the city with the city in His heart. Praise God. We love you. We thank the Lord for the opportunity that we can just come into your homes and speak the truth of God's word, because the Bible tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will abide forever. So if you keep your mind and heart on the word of God, the Lord will bless you. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Pray for our radio listeners and faith partners out there in Radio Land. We ask your blessings to be upon them each and every minute of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, we're talking about salvation. Praise God. We want to tell you that the Lord loves you. He's soon to come back. And I've been led, praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit that yeah, many people out there that have tuned into this broadcast from here and there, they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we want to do by the grace of God is to tell you that you don't have to be in a church building to get saved. Right where you are, you can get on your knees and tell the Lord Jesus Christ your problem. And He's the problem solver, and He will bring forth deliverance in your life, give you eternal life. That way everything will be according to His plan. Praise God. Well, let's look at what the Word of God says here today, because the God that we serve is a good God. He's the best. There's none like Him throughout this earth. We want to praise Him and thank Him for everything, because apart from Him, we can do nothing, nor do we have anything of any great significance, because He and He alone deserves all the honor and the glory. Praise God.
Amen.
All the honor and the glory. We lift Him up. He is the ascended Lord and the risen Savior. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that He loves you so much until He went to the cross of Calvary for all of your sins, sicknesses, griefs, and sorrows, shortcomings, whatever the problem may be. He took it and nailed it to His cross so that you would have the opportunity to have eternal life, providing that you believe and trust in Him. Praise God. In St. John 1 and verse 12, Jesus speaking to John, it says that for as many as received Him, See, you have to receive him. You have to open up your heart and ask him to come in. He will not go against your will. He created us all as free moral agency. And we have the choice if we want to have eternal life by allowing the Lord Jesus Christ come into our lives. So the word tells us there, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, our sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Praise God. Do you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you believe that he is the Son of God and that he died for your sins? If you do, praise God, ask him to come into your heart. He loves you and he wants to save you. It was a divine purpose of him coming into this world to deliver mankind back unto the Father. Minister Gloria, the scriptures tells us all that the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his love and the thing that he's done for us all, that if we truly believe and trust in him, we can have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start after you die. You have eternal life now if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. What does it say in St. John 3 there, in verse 16? Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Because when we believe what the Word of God is saying, glory to God, that God loves us so much. It was a divine purpose that he came into this world.
Amen.
It's not that he came because he didn't have anything else to do in heaven. He came because all humanity was lost. The world was full of sin. Yes. And still a lot of sin is going on. But if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Yes. Amen. So,
John,
yes,
3:16 says, "For God so loved the world,
yes,
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Isn't that wonderful? This is why the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that will give you eternal life, providing that you would believe and trust in him. Praise God. And I want to tell you today that it's not about just going into some church building and singing songs and clapping your hands and listening to a three-point message. It's more than that. God loves you so much that he came and he took your place there on the cross of Calvary. Glory to God. He took your place there on Calvary's cross, suffered sickness, disease, and grief and sorrow. He went through all of that so that you would have a right to the tree of life. Jesus is symbolic of the tree of life because in him is life. And if you have him today, you have eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. So God sent his Son in the world. He did that so that you and I would have the right to be saved. Praise God. You know, Jesus didn't come here to condemn this world. And Minister Gloria, would you read the 17th verse there? Because Jesus didn't come here to condemn us. We already were condemned. We didn't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. But providing that when we begin to understand and receive him, listen to what he said in the 17th verse.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
That the world through him might be saved. See, now I want to tell you something. Now that, you see, Buddha cannot save you. And there are a lot of folks that they're religious and they put their trust in Buddha. But I want to tell you today that the bones of Buddha is still in the grave. You see, but the one that I'm talking about today, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his bones are not in the grave. He is risen, praise God. And even with Hare Hare Krishna, the Indian God, let me tell you something. All these things that man has concocted and say, well, that's my God. Well, I tell you, the God that I serve, he's holy and he's righteous, and he never put the burden on me. He took the burden for me, praise God. You see, Hare Krishna, bones are still in the grave. Oh, I want to tell you today, if you're listening to what I'm saying, his bones are still in the grave. You got even Muhammad, Mustafa Muhammad, bones are still in the grave. You see, all those are mortal men that cannot give you eternal life. But the one that I'm speaking about today, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is eternal life. He is salvation. Glory to God. And I tell you that he didn't come in this world to condemn the world, only for the world to be saved, that the world might be saved through him. Do you want eternal life? It is a choice of your own. No one can force you. Jesus, he loves you, but he will go against your will. He loved you so much until he would wait until you invite him in. Minister Glory, we were talking about a while back there that in Revelation 3 and verse 20, when Jesus, it was saying that Jesus, he stands at the door. And we're talking today about salvation. Mm-hmm. Because time is almost up. It's almost over. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back.
Yes, coming back.
And when he comes back, I pray to God that you would be right with him. You would bear his name. Have the authority that's been given to us through his name. And thank him for everything that he's done. Mr. Glory, would you read Revelation 3 in verse 20? Praise God.
It says, behold, it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If, qualifier, any man hear my voice and open the door of your heart, I will come into him and him and will sup with him and he with me.
Isn't that wonderful? Mr. Glory, you know, he will not knock the door down.
No.
This is why it's so important that whatever problems that we may be going through, or you out there in Radio Land, if you're going through, extend the invitation to the one that makes the difference. The one that can change the total scenario. And his name is Jesus.
Yes.
You see, the door that he's standing behind is the door of your heart. Every one of us have the opportunity, praise God. And from that's figurative language, but the most important thing is that the door that he's standing behind or in front of, it has no doorknob. We often look at a door with doorknobs on the inside and on the outside. Well, the door, he doesn't have a doorknob that he can turn that knob and come in. The doorknob is on the inside of the heart of the believer, or the one that's listening to what Jesus is talking about. So you're the only one that's able to open up that door, because he will never go against your will. If he knocked the door down and come in, then that means that he would go against your will and violate your free moral agency. But he doesn't do that. He waits for you to extend an invitation.
Amen.
Praise God. When you extend the invitation by opening up the door and allowing him to come in, because once the door is open,
yes,
then he is able to come in.
That's right.
And sup with you. Mm-hmm. And you with him.
Amen.
That's very powerful.
Yes.
That's why if you have problems out there in Radio Land today, regardless of the circumstances or the problems that you have, if you invite the Lord Jesus Christ into the situation that's going on in your life, he will come in and change that situation, providing that you open up the door of your heart. Isn't that wonderful, Minister Glory?
Wonderful.
You know, and the whole idea is that he's concerned about everybody.
Everybody.
No matter what problems you may have, he's concerned about it. A lot of folks say, well, it's too minute. I won't talk to God about it. Yes, speak to him. Because what happened is that there's nothing too small for him to be concerned about. He's concerned about everything.
Yes.
That's why he came into this world, to bring deliverance to all of our lives. Mr. Glory, you have something you want to share?
And that's to everyone. This invitation to everyone.
Glory to God.
Not just the righteous. It's to everyone that believe on his name.
Amen. Praise God. Well, the scripture tells us that it's not just for us.
No.
And we cannot boast because we are born again and we have received the Lord Jesus Christ. No, there may be people out there that are in the same situation and conditions that we were in prior to our conversion.
Praise the Lord.
This is why we look back and we throw the life raft out to those that are out there that are sinking.
Yes.
You don't have to sink. You don't have to be in the condition that you're in. Turn your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will bring deliverance in your life. He will do just that. Praise the wonderful name of our God.
Jesus Christ.
You know, Minister Glory, was looking at the word where it tells us in Colossians 1, where he says that he has delivered us.
All right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Delivered us from the power of darkness.
Yes.
Folks don't have to stay in darkness.
Nope.
They don't have to live the life that are contrary to the word of God. Jesus came to bring deliverance. He came to save you. The scripture tells us that. Mm-hmm. Do you believe what the word of God is saying?
Amen.
That he came to save you. You know, in Galatians 4, verse 4,
yes.
Minister Glory, you know, that's a very prominent verse of scripture there that is good for us all, because there was a time when Jesus came. Mm-hmm. He didn't just come on his own, and there's going to be another time when he comes. The Father's going to send him to get his children.
Amen.
Praise God. And I pray to God that everybody out there in radio land, and even if you don't know him, you get yourself right with God and be one of his children. Praise God. You know, in Galatians 4, you want to read that?
And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman.
Yes.
Made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's
praise
wonderful.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, woohoo, glory, Abba, Father.
We can call him Daddy. We can call him Daddy because we belong to him. But those out there in Radio Land, there that you can't call him Daddy, mm-hmm. because you're not one of his children. But you can be. God is no respecter of person. And like I said, he loves you. Praise God. The scripture tells us that. The word of God tells us that. And when we abide in the word of God and believe what it says, you know, you may not be part of a church affiliation. You may be, maybe you don't even go to church. But I want to tell you, he still loves you. And he's given you the opportunity to hear the word of God so that you can make the decision to give your heart to him.
Amen.
You know, Minister Glory, it's not his will anyway that any perish.
Nope.
Isn't that something? God doesn't want you to perish.
Nope. He wants all to come to repentance.
Amen. Hallelujah. In him is life.
Yes.
And this is why he wants you to have eternal life. Praise God.
Yes.
And the reason I'm speaking on eternal life here is because it's almost midnight. The curtain's almost about to close. And you know, in the natural, when they close the curtain, that means that the play is over. And here, from a spiritual standpoint, the time is almost over.
Amen. It is.
All the signs and the prophecies have been fulfilled.
Yes.
Even as I speak, it tells us that Jesus is soon to come.
Amen.
We don't know when he's going to come, and we don't know what he looks like, but we do know one thing, that when he comes back, we'll be like him, because we'll see him as he is.
Amen.
And I want you to see him as he is. But the only way that you can see him as he is that you have to be like him. Praise God. You have to be one of his children. Amen. Because he's coming back for the second time. Matter of fact, in Hebrew 9 and verse 28 there, Minister Glory, would you just read that for a moment?
Okay.
Since that popped up in my spirit, because he's coming back a second time.
Yes.
Praise God. Without sin.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many.
Yes, he did.
And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
The second time. So he's coming back. Are you looking for him today? There are folks that are even confessing, carrying a Bible, and they are going to church. The question is, are you looking for him? Is your mind on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it just the mundane and humdrum way of life today, where you just taking things as it is instead of occupying until he comes? This is what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
As children of God. We occupy until he comes. Praise God. Because we know that he's coming back.
Yes.
Praise God. And we're trying, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to speak to as many people as we can to tell them to get right with God, to be reconciled back to God. Praise the Lord, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. You have a verse of scripture you want to read?
First John.
Yes.
First John 5. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Where it says, let me read 11 and 5, 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And his Son is Jesus. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. So you will not go back with him if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he's coming back for a church, a holy church, without a spot or wrinkle or blemish.
Well, he's speaking of eternal life. There are a lot of people that have life. They're walking about. But the sad part about it is that they have life, but they are condemned. And you don't have to be condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can condemn you. But it tells us there that if you don't believe on him, that you are condemned already. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to walk around with your grave clothes on. I say grave clothes, I'm talking about the same clothes that Lazarus had on, to a certain extent there. Grave clothes. You can get out of those grave clothes and get this white robe of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's able to give you. I know I'm speaking to some people out there, and some of you may not even address the issue concerning salvation. You would say, "Well, I'm doing good. I don't hate anyone. I don't have problems with my neighbors. I don't commit murder, or I don't speak evil of people." All these things that one will say.
Self-righteousness.
Yes. They're operating in a state of self-righteousness. But that won't get you into the kingdom of God. The only one that will get you into the kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door of the sheepfold. And the scripture tells us that if any man climbeth up any other way, he's a thief or a robber. You got to come through the door of the sheepfold. Isn't that wonderful, Mr. Gordon?
Jesus said, he is the way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ."
Amen. Well, he's the only one that's able to allow us to come in, to go in and out of the sheepfold. Praise God. I pray today that you would have a desire, not through forcing or having someone to force you to make an acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that is not love. If someone forces you, that's not love. You come on your own volition. You look at what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. This is what you take notice of. And when you do that, and you see that he suffered the shame and all of the griefs and sorrow, he took your place there on Calvary, then you make the decision whether you want to be with him throughout the ages of eternity. There are a lot of folks today, they probably have not heard about the Lord Jesus Christ in the truest sense. But I want to tell you, he loves you so much. This is why he went there on Calvary's cross to die for your sins. That's what he's done, die for my sins. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 2, minutes ago, would you read that quickly so that we can get that verse of scripture in? Because I want to let you know that he didn't die just for the righteous.
For he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
So the whole world lies in sin, and this is why, not just the righteous. The scripture tells us that he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to extend this invitation to you. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, as we close this broadcast, is vitally important that you hear these words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
But first, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, you hear that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. Well, we thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning into the broadcast. The only thing I request at the leading of the Holy Spirit is that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. It's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.